Jamie and Locker with you here on a Wednesday afternoon on the Green Zone. Hope you're having a great day, getting ready for 15 games in the National Hockey League tonight. Also tonight, it is big-time matches at the Canadian Olympic Curling Trials on the men's side. We now know the three women that are in. We know Homan's the number one ranked team. We'll go to the best of three playoffs final. And then you have Einarsson and Black. Black got through on the last stone draw statistics and the tiebreaker there to make her way in on the three-way tie with Caitlin Laws and Selena Sturme. On the men's side, we know Jacobs is into the final. We just need to know who's going to be in the semi. Will it be Gushue? Will it be Dunstone? Will it be Mike McEwen? We'll find out as those games are just starting.
Do you want my curling theory?
Do I?
Yeah, you do.
Can we get to Daryl first?
Okay, I'll share it later.
Okay.
But I'm don't let me forget. I think it's brilliant.
Let's get to Daryl David.
Double Take with Daryl Davis.
Daryl, we're getting some complaints on the best of three format.
Yeah.
Do you like the? Like the best of three.
No.
If someone has to beat Rachel Holman two times to get the Olympics,
it's gonna be tough. Rachel Holman's got the best rink. Why should they have to beat her twice? Or right? If you can beat her once, good for you, and you deserve it. But you know what? I'm interested in Locker's theory on curling. I'm sorry.
Okay, do you want it now then?
You know what curling
this
is, right?
Your...
It's got brooms and things and rocks?
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. No. But I think this is something that I've believed for a long time. I think the best curlers have their eyes really close together.
Okay.
But I think I could have been a really good curler if I would have worked at it. Look at them all.
I just looked at Brad Jacobs. You're right.
You got your eyes pretty close together.
I was a pretty good curler.
See?
I don't curl.
I'm telling you. There's something to it. Look at all the skips.
Okay.
Oh. Their eyes, they're like, you can put a...
How does that translate into being a good curler, though?
I think it has something to do with the vision, like on the ice.
Seeing a broom better? Or the way?
That's a heck of a theory, Locker.
Look at them. Look at the guys. Okay. Gushue, look at him. Eyes close together.
Do a study on this one, okay?
Jacobs, eyes close together. Look at these guys.
Okay.
I'm telling you.
Well, Benny Hebert's a pretty good curler, and nope.
No, he's an exception to the rule.
Yeah. Well, Benny's a really good sweeper.
Yeah.
The best sweeper of all time, maybe.
Maybe it's just a skip. Well, Benny was a skip in his junior days.
Yeah.
He kicked my ass back in
did he? Yeah, he used to play him. Okay. Okay.
But
no, I don't like the best of three. No, it's why all week you go through this and
I'm willing
and
to give it a chance. I'd like to see it.
Sudden victory is what makes everything exciting, right? I know that when you get a hockey series or a baseball series, those are fun. But
do they have to play all three in the same day?
The CFL used to be a two game to get out of the West. Used to be a two game total point and then a best of three. By the time they were finished, George Reed and Ron Lancaster would limp into the Grey Cup. And they had, after playing five playoff games.
But they're not tackling each other in curling, although we're on to something.
No. Just play one. And they're not using the best of three at the Olympics, are they?
No.
So then why the heck are they doing it here? This should be exactly the same format as they're going to use in the Olympics. And that way you test your rink to see if they know how to handle the Olympics.
It's a competitive. This is a competitive, the competition committee thing.
Uh-huh.
Where... And in the case of Rachel Holman, let's use her as an example, is the best curler in Canada. Her team is dominating, has made the final, and she has one oopsie, and she's not the Olympic rep.
Yeah.
They didn't like that side of it. Like, Brad Gushue's dominant. He has one oopsie in the wrong game, and he's not the... Are they sending the best team in Canada to the Olympics? That's what they're trying to do with this format to go, okay, you got to win two of three over another great team, and that way is a make sure it's the best team going.
The best team in throughout this gets the hammer to start with, right? So that usually means at this level that they win when you're playing the best team. So it's going to be a real fluke, and if somebody does upset Brad Gushue or Rachel Holman, they deserve
to be. Well, it won't be Gushue. Gushue might not even make the playoffs.
True, yeah. So, but you're getting the best rink out of that, too, though, aren't you? It's a pretty good field.
Oh, it's an exceptional field. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Gushue
week.
Got a bad draw getting Jacobs here.
There was some. There was definitely sad news yesterday in the curling world. Colleen Jones, what a personality she was in curling.
I adored Colleen. Yeah, when you think back, her first Scotties was in Regina.
When she won, she was 22 years old.
Yeah, and her young rink just kind of upset the entire curling world. Right, they're so vibrant and fun and running around, and she was like that right until her final appearances. Right. 6 Scotties championships. And talking to her was just one of the most joyful things all the time. After a win, after a loss, she was emotional. I was really sad about that. I hadn't seen her for a long. I've been off the curling beat for a little while, but every time you saw Colleen, you were just glad to be in a curling rink. And if she was playing, it was always fun. I'm not sure everybody liked her who played against her, but I'm sure everybody who liked curling. There are even people who didn't like the way she chewed her gum, right? And how flamboyant she was. But, she was good for the game, and what a championship. What a champion curler.
Yeah, that smile.
And in broadcasting, too. She was...
Oh, very good at that, too.
Amazing broadcaster herself, and personality and everything, the storytelling she'd do. She was extremely good at grabbing the attention of the audience making it an emotional, well-connected story.
Captivating. And that's what drew a lot of people to curling. Devin Haru, our friend who works at CBC, and they had become very close the last few years, did a wonderful piece on her. They were good friends. When she was going through chemo, she said, write a good story about me. And they sat down and talked. And it's the type of thing you cry when you're reading because the purity of Devin's writing. And just he really captured Colleen. It was a wonderful job.
Tweet from her boy.
Yes. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah, it's a sad day. It's appropriate that the curling trials are on and give her a little.
And in retrospect, she's been battling this for the 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. In retrospect, you now watch her on the bench coaching her son at the Briar in Regina earlier this year. And you now go, okay, now that makes sense on how much that meant to her to be there with her son at the Briar and be on the bench for his team as the curling world. Well, the sports world in Canada will miss the Hall of Famer, Colleen Jones. Coming up next, Daryl Davis is going to weigh in on the work Jeremy O'Day has in front of him. I'm sure Locker will bring up how many little frogs he is eating as well. And is it Daryl's fault that Locker couldn't drink in the press box at the Grey Cup? This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. Jeremy O'Day had his news conference yesterday. No breaking news when it comes to Trevor Harris. Says we have a double take with Double D, Daryl Davis. I think within a week or two, we'll get an extension for Trevor Harris. Daryl, what do you think?
I think he'll wait a little longer. He knows. I think he knows he's going to play, but just talking to him, right, his last media availability on Garbage Bag Day, we all got the impression Trevor Harris is coming back. Jeremy O'Day has the impression he's coming back. He doesn't have to make a hurry decision. Jeremy O'Day.
Don't you want him to call people though? Like, hey, I'm locked in.
Buy your season tickets?
No. Like Sam Emilis recruiting guys. Okay. Hey, I'm back. Let's run it back.
They know he's coming, and don't you take some of December off and just kind of cruise and enjoy the championship, and then start making your decisions about it. I think you do that I know that the Jeremy O'Day and his staff are saying, well, we have to figure out what we're going to need. And they've got all the possibilities, but you still have those possibilities anyway. You still need a backup quarterback probably, because even if Trevor Harris signs or if he doesn't sign, you got to have somebody who can play. So there's all those decisions. You're still putting together the strongest team you can and let them make their decisions. When Trevor Harris makes it, it might be in December, it might be in January, but I think it's going to be soon, but not as soon as you think. I don't think within the next couple of days. That's my guess.
Okay. You said early December.
Yeah, I said like next week or the week after.
Does Jake stick around if Trevor's coming back?
I don't think so.
Really?
Well, then again, where else does he go, right?
Like, yeah.
That's always part of it. You got to say, okay, I don't want to play here, or I want to find what's best for me, but is there a better spot for him?
Yeah.
Like he thinks he's a starting quarterback, mm-hmm. but I think who is he going
to
replace?
Somebody's got to give him a chance to do that if he's going to take a, you know, a jump, right?
Yeah. And I, you know, he's in a good situation here. He just won a Grey Cup. And wouldn't you say, well, I give it another shot?
Who's the second most important player for this team to sign for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders after Trevor Harris? We were having the debate. Britton and Locker
thought it was. I want to hear him. I don't want him. I want him clean on this one.
Like they're 46 great.
Yes.
Sam Emelis to me is the next guy.
Okay. All right.
A Canadian receiver is going to be the star. Everybody says he could be the best player in the league.
Because I trust Daryl over you and Britton's opinion.
I said AJ.
AJ Lett, no. He's a good player, but there's guys who can do similar things to him. And they're Americans. You can find, Royce Shivers used to say, Scoops, there's an American running back everywhere you look. The guy, the second string, third stringers at UCLA, they can play in the CFL, man. Yeah. You can find one of those guys anywhere. Finding a Canadian receiver like Sam Emelis, Ken Schaefer Baker's still a good one.
I get
finding
that.
Guys like that, you don't, they're not everywhere.
I just thought that my, and again, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying
say I'm wrong. I don't mind being told I'm wrong. I get told that lots of times.
Especially over the last week.
Yeah, hey, 2 weeks, yeah.
My thought process was that he's become kind of the face of the team, mm-hmm. right? Like
Okay. That's because of the hair and the beard. He's so easy to spot. There's so many guys you see walking down the street without their helmets on, and nobody knows who they are.
Yeah.
But if you see AJ Oleno, he's just... He's
become a brand.
Of course it is. Good for him. That's the way he's built, and he's become more outgoing in the last year or two, right? And because he realized he's accepted and he wasn't hurt last year, which means a huge, but you can see him, right? Some of the bigger guys, Jamarcus Hardrick, you could know who he is, right? Sam Emelis would be a lot more inconspicuous. Yeah. In a city like this. So, but I think in terms of talent and what you have to have and the way this team is built with Canadian receivers, you got to have the best of the bunch back.
We should address the elephant in the room, and that's when Jamie blamed you.
No, I didn't blame him. It was his first press box experience at Grey Cup. He's always with the fans, and he hated every minute of it.
I'll never do that again.
I hate press boxes too, to be honest.
He couldn't have a beer.
Everyone was like,
couldn't have a beer, so that bothered you.
Well, I mean,
you didn't drink enough beer during the week?
I did. I got
hang out
my
with Jamie
share.
More.
I did, but. I was sitting and it was like a cafeteria. They wouldn't turn the volume on the game, mm-hmm. and you can't cheer. Stupid.
Of course you can't cheer. There's no cheering in the press box, man. You can't cheer in the press box. You're supposed to be impartial. Why would you cheer
I'm
in
the
press
box? I'm not.
Well, then don't go in the press box.
I'm not going to.
Good. Okay, we'll be glad. You'll probably want to turn the heat up, too.
Who's on first?
Right?
But when did that stop?
Because when did you ruin drinking in the...
when I started on the beat, which was, let's see, the 80s, late 80s, there used to be, Molson would sponsor the press box, basically, and they would serve you meals, and there would be beer galore, and drinks. Mm-hmm. Remember the Schenley Awards, that's what is the Outstanding Player Award. So if you voted, they would send you like four bottles of Schenley alcohol. It was always... And maybe that's why we've lost so many of our reporters over the years, right? To alcoholism, I'm thinking. I told you guys what my grandfather used to work at Taylor Field, and when he would go clean out the press box, I'd go along with him and sweep out all the glass bottles at the press box. And that's what talked me into becoming a reporter, I guess, right? Hey, this is a good job. You can drink on it. Not anymore. They don't, you know, not with deadlines and things. They used to have deadlines, and they used to hang out with the players. It's evolved, man. We never get to see the players anymore. You don't know who they are. It's just... They're at a distance, and
well, my evolution is not sitting in that press box again.
Well, go
my buddies were like, "You get to sit in the press box? That's really awesome!" And I'm like texting him, "This is not awesome. I don't want to be here.
No, it's not much fun. It's a sterile environment."
Well, I was telling
it's set up to work, Locker. You should try that though. When you're there,
I'm against it.
No cheering though, and that's what's been weird over the last.
They
few
kicked
years
a bunch of guys out. They came cheering. In. They were all painted up and
alouette. They had an alouette flag wrapped around them. And it was like turn around.
Were they media guys?
Well, they were bloggers.
Bloggers. Okay,
podcasters.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
those see, old podcasters.
Yeah, and there's a fine line between being media and being a fan with a podcast, right?
So. Well, I know what I'm doing next year. I'm packing warm enough clothes to go find a seat in the stands.
Well, you'll be there. Calgary. Daryl does that every so often. He jumps
I like
out
sitting out in the crowd. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. I did. That's where the it's fun,
and especially at halftime, watching the bands. Right?
You can see the
Calgary
see the show.
Be a little cool next year.
Yeah. We'll see if the Riders are back.
or a snow pass.
I'm thinking, yeah, aren't you?
Well, I'll see.
We picked them pretty closely this year.
We'll see what that offseason looks like, but it could be interesting. Daryl, we'll see you next week.
All right, guys.
Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. It is Guju Brad Jacobs in the key match on TSN. Guju needs a win, and he'll be in the playoffs. A loss, and Brad Guju might be out of the playoffs at the Canadian Trials. Rachel Holman clinched first place. She's into the best of three final after a win over Carrie Anderson. Carrie Anderson will take on the hometown favorite Christina Blacksrink in the semifinal tomorrow. 15 games in the NHL tonight ahead of American Thanksgiving tomorrow. We talk to Nick Kyprios next on the frustrating Toronto Maple Leafs on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Hope you're having a great Wednesday, getting ready and settling in for some hockey tonight. First puck drops at 6 o'clock. A total of 8 games start at 6 o'clock. Or sorry, 9 games start at 6 and a 15-game schedule tonight in the NHL. And then it's a day of rest for the NHL tomorrow for American Thanksgiving. Yeah. But there is football tomorrow with 3 games. The Packers, Lions, Chiefs, Cowboys, Bengals, Ravens play tomorrow for American Thanksgiving. Locker and I are coming down with something tomorrow. We'll have to call. Yeah, we'll get Britton in to do the show tomorrow. Because could you imagine? Britton, we need you to come in. Jamie and Locker are both down, apparently. You can catch him at a local lounge watching football, recuperating from the
record that call to Britain
American Thanksgiving flu. There's football tomorrow, of course, with American Thanksgiving. 15 games in the NHL tonight, including the Toronto Maple Leafs against the Capitals. That's on Friday. Tonight it's against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Austin Matthews back in the lineup. We had a great conversation with Nick Kyprios, and the conversation started with Austin Matthews. And where are we going with the captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs with his in and out of the lineup with questions about health for the main guy in Toronto?
Well, I think you just asked the $64,000 question that a lot of people are starting to ask, but you know, in the meantime, I think it's a good thing that he's back in the lineup. He's the last 2 seasons battling injuries. Last year, it led, I think, to missing the first 9 games and then a reoccurring one 6 games later. The goal scoring was down, of course, not anywhere near the 60-goal mark that fans have been accustomed to seeing. So at least in the good news is he's back playing tonight. And we'll see what happens here, guys. We're going to see whether or not he can create some of the magic and put some of these injuries behind him, or it's going to continue to be this lingering talk of, oh, is he 80%? Is he 90%? How hurt is he? Is that going to be the conversation moving forward here? And as far as everything else is concerned, obviously, it's tied into the Toronto Maple Leafs and how much he can push them out of the basement and get them back in contention with a playoff spot. Until some of these answers, these questions are answered, I think Leaf fans have no choice but to just look no further than tonight and see what kind of response they get with a healthier lineup, including Nyes and Nick Waugh as well.
So when a team is like struggling, like most of the Canadian teams are right now, what we tend to do is we tend to start to look for the reasons why. So we might, you know, do deeper analysis. And it's easy to look at what's happening on the ice, Nick, but at the same time, you guys, I mean, I catch you guys every once in a while, you're having deeper conversations of what could be wrong with this team. And what do you keep coming back to?
Well, you know, you talk to some of the greats that helped orchestrate and build championships, and a lot of people always start from the net on out. And, you know, whether we're talking about Edmonton or Toronto, we are talking about a team that has question marks in goal. The Leafs thought that they were okay with Stolarz and Joseph Woll, and then Joseph Woll disappeared, you know, at the beginning of training camp, and just been recently back in, and then Stolarz disappears on them. And we haven't yet to see them together all season long. You know, Skinner, the same thing in terms of question marks about whether or not he's a true number one goalie, or do they have to go out and get somebody. And then you move forward, guys, to the blue line, and both, again, Toronto and Edmonton are some of their metrics are some of the worst in the league. You know, 27th, 29th, 31st, 32nd, high danger chances given up, rush chances given up. I mean, there's a lot of leaks in the boat right now. And unfortunately, when you make $12 or $13 million, you know, the finger gets pointed at you, as it will as for Austin Matthews as early as tonight. And there's only so much that Connor can do and Leon Draisaitl can do. But if you ask me, the real issues on both these hockey clubs is that blue line, especially the Leafs as well, where they were so good last year. And, of course, they don't have the Cale Makar or the Quinn Hughes that can quarterback half a game. But they had good veterans that played disciplined style last year, blocked shots, gave their goalie a chance to see the puck. That's all out the window so far this season.
Do you see the Leafs climbing out of this lull? Do you see them making a run to the playoffs as guys get back to healthy? Or is this going to be a long, very questionable season for Toronto?
I got to see more before I'm convinced that they're just going to come back. After 22 games and witnessing what I've seen so far, I don't believe that's going to be a possibility unless they flick this switch. And some of the things that we saw last year, including the discipline from the blue line and the goaltending, comes back quickly here. I think the thought that it was a chemistry issue, that they needed time to gel and the talent's still there and it's only a matter of time. Yeah, I think it's too late to talk about that. Again, the good news in all of this, guys, I think for the Leafs especially, is that the difference between last place and first place, it really comes down to a good week. Can you string three or four games in a row here? It's not a big ask anymore to have a good week and a half, and put together a three-game winning streak. If you can do that, then you got a chance to come back in the mix. You got a chance to regain some confidence. Maybe Stolarz is back next week, and you can start building from there. But I'll answer whether they got a legitimate shot to come back and be a playoff-type team or even make noise in the playoffs after I've witnessed a three- or four-game winning streak.
So out of all the Leafs storylines, Nick, which one are you sick of the most? And it's okay if it's Marner.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I think everybody's off Marner now.
Yeah.
In all honesty. Yeah, because I think for the most part, they understand that this isn't just Marner. This isn't just his 100 points missing. There's bigger issues here on why aren't they listening to their head coach and why are they giving up so many odd man rushes and why doesn't it look like they're trying as hard as they are? And, you know, there's a ton of these questions here. How come Austin Matthews doesn't look like the second best player in the world right now behind Connor McDavid? Like, does he need Marner to do that, or is something else going on? These are the questions far beyond just Mitch Marner right now for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And again, there's a fork in the road here in the next week and a half, 2 weeks, where, you know, you're going to get yourselves back in the mix here, or are you going to dig the hole deeper? That's what we'll all watch now in the next 7 to 10 days.
Of course, you can catch Nick Kypreos on Sportsnet Radio with Justin Bourne, as well as guest columnist with the Toronto Star as we talk about the Leafs. Is this just culture, Nick? Like, are we looking at a team? Okay, they need Craig Berube. He's going to be an ass kicker for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
Is this just a matter of, well, this is what you got because the culture's not that great in that room? Or is it that deep where, there's questions if Austin Matthews is the right captain to lead this team going forward after his contract's up in 2 years?
Well, I'm still waiting for the ass kicking right now, to be honest with you, you know. But I think there's an element of coaching right now in 2025 where a kick in the butt doesn't work as well. Maybe it didn't in my era. I'm not sure. But it just seems like there's a lot more patience for some of these guys, where in my day it would be like you're either getting traded, sent to the minors, or, you know, next man up. You're in the press box. We don't have time to wait for you to find yourself. And just seems like there's a lot more patience going on. So those bigger questions that you just asked me, nobody's ready to answer them in November. But come the new year, see where you're at in the playoffs, and then some of those bigger questions will start getting answered. No question.
Maybe we just need more safe spaces, Nick. Who's selling off pieces first? Like, who's the first fire sale? We got Canucks, Flames, Oilers, Leafs.
I had the St. Louis Blues out of the gate fastest to sell off pieces, and now it looks like Vancouver wants to jump ahead of them. Nashville, you know, Calgary seems still a little worrisome about sending a message out there that they're going to be sellers, but I think in 2 or 3 years with the pieces that they already have, plus the draft picks that are coming along for them, in that first year or 2 years in the new building, it's gonna bode well for the timing of the Calgary Flames. But, you know, outside of that, there's going to be, I think, in the next week or two, maybe teams like Toronto or Edmonton that we'll take another crack at maybe, you know, fixing this before they completely, you know, go the other way. But Edmonton, we know, with Jeff Jackson, wants another crack at a Stanley Cup championship. And then the Leafs, of course, are still on the tail end of drafting Nylander and Matthews and signing Tavares, you know, almost a decade ago. So They're not ready to hang it up as well. So we'll see what's out there in the trade market and whether or not they can make a change or two here in the coming weeks to once again make people believe that they can compete.
That is Nick Kiprios of Sportsnet Radio, Sportsnet Television. And you can read his columns in the Toronto Star.
He's pretty decent at the writing thing. I read his stuff every once in a while. He's good at it.
You got the Leafs making the playoffs this year?
No. I got the Habs.
I'm not convinced Boston's going to be hanging around in the playoff spot. Ottawa's
Boston.
We'll see.
They're playing more like a Boston team right now, and I don't know if it's sustainable. But Boston's one of the teams on the East that I think might give up one of those spots we keep talking about, one of those four spots. Even though I think the math is going to be off this year.
Jamie Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Didn't like the jerseys Dallas Stars unveiled. However, on a further look, I am going to champ one aspect of the Stars jersey release next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
You two are winners. Big winners.
I think you're shagadelic, baby. You're switched on. You're smashing.
You tried your best, and you failed miserably.
The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning.
You're an idiot.
You're a bad person.
Each and every day, one champ, one chump. Our chump is Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray. Today, we are outing him here on the radio.
He's a bit late for work today.
He was late for work. And
which happens.
He says, yeah. I little long line at the McDonald's, and I go, He's like, yeah, I didn't think it would be that busy, even though Agribition is going. He went to the McDonald's. If you go to a Rider game, you know there's a McDonald's right there on the he went to that McDonald's thinking that would be quick during Canada's largest farm show. Like, there's literally another McDonald's like four blocks away.
Very chump-worthy today. Yeah. Very chump-worthy.
Come on, Britton. You got to... You're a Regina guy. You've known
better. Do better.
Meanwhile, the champ is the Dallas Stars jersey launch. They are doing
an homage to the
99. I'm not a big fan of the jerseys.
No, they look stupid.
Internet sleuths quickly pointed something out on the Brett Hull photo showing off the third jersey. Of course, for the 99 Stanley Cup, he scores the third OT, the OT winner in the third overtime. And his foot was in the crease. And in the photo, he's right at the crease. And yes, that right foot is in the crease. Okay, that's well done. That is thinking everything through to have Brett Hull's foot in the crease as a throwback to their Stanley Cup championship.
He kind of sold it, too. Have you listened to his new podcast with Chaser? Ice Guardians? It's okay.
I listen to the Kachuk Brothers podcast instead.
That one I will never listen to.
Time now for the Green Zone 1 minute drill, the latest in sports. Guju and Jacobs going at it right now. It is a big game for Brad Guju. He needs to win, and he will be in the playoffs. A loss for Brad might find himself out of the playoffs for the Canadian Curling Trials. As I'll have more coming up in the day in review. 15 games in the NHL, and happy American Thanksgiving for football fans. You got three games starting at noon tomorrow. We might talk about those starting at 2 on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.